So my daughter often says funny and surprising things, like some kids do. And when she was like 5 years old, she was playing with her friend named Glory. Now, I only say Glory's name with permission and also because I think it fits well with the message. So she was giving Glory specific instructions for their characters. They had their characters they were playing with, and she says, "Okay, Glory, let's pretend that they're dummies because they're not listening." And, you know, I said, "You know, Eliana, I don't really like that word." And so she goes, "Oh, okay, real quick. Okay, Glory, let's pretend that they're not clever." And I just thought, oh, that was such like a quick and clever response to my rebuke. So my favorite proverb about wisdom is in Proverbs 8. And she says, "I was beside God, an intimate. I was God's delight day after day, playing before God at all times, playing in the world, in God's earth, and in my delight with humankind." So obviously this verse makes me think of a delightful child playing in the earth, delighting in the characters, and who also might say witty or funny things. So the book of Proverbs is full of witty and wise sayings. It also has quite a few reprimands or rebukes, especially against those who are not listening. So when we hear the rebuke of Lady Wisdom, it's good to remember that she delights in us as she plays in the world. Now, Robert Alter is an American professor of Hebrew and comparative literature at UC Berkeley. And all my translations of the Proverbs that I use today are Robert Alter's translations. So he has a large Hebrew commentary on the Bible. The volumes are probably like this many. I didn't bring them. But in his commentary on the Proverbs, Alter says that the Proverbs are not high poetry. He says that they are a poetry of wit, and that they teach us in a way that is clever, so that these words of wisdom can come to mind at just the right moment if we have ears to hear. Now, very often in Proverbs, these two verses are coupled together, and the second verse like echoes or restates the first verse in a different way. But Robert Alter shows that some of these Proverbs don't follow the typical pattern, and he identifies them as riddle Proverbs, and they're like peppered throughout the book. So these riddle-type Proverbs present us with an earthly image, which begs us to ask, who or what am I? So, for example, I'll give one example, Proverbs 26:14. It begins, "A door turns on its hinge." Okay, so we're like, obviously a door turns on its hinge. Where are you going with this? So it's kind of like a riddle. Who or what am I? A door turns on its hinge. And the answer is somewhat surprising, is a sluggard in his bed. So the full proverb is, "A door turns on its hinge and a sluggard on his bed." And you can imagine a door, you know, people going in and out of a door, moving back and forth, but the door itself is likened to someone who's just turning back and forth on their bed, going nowhere. So it's this like striking image using a thing of the earth to have an insight into humankind in kind of a fun way. So this summer with my kids, I put meaningful quotes on our whiteboard, and my 10-year-old said, "Mom, we don't want quotes, we want riddles." So for today, I thought, you know, maybe we could have a little fun playing with the riddle-type proverbs of the Bible. But before we start, I thought we'd do a little warm-up for you. And we remade some props from the Planet Word. It's a museum in Washington, D.C. And so it's just like a little warm-up here, and then we'll get started with the actual riddle proverbs from the Bible. Do you want to bring up the first one? That one. Yep. Okay, so these are popular phrases. Who or what am I? Two peas in a pod. I hope the Zoomies can see the prop there. Okay, good. Two peas in a pod. All right, come on up. You can do the next one. Okay, who or what is she? In a pickle. That's right. Now, this one is a little harder. Can anyone guess it? A watchdog. Very good. Okay, you can take. Thank you, Eliana. Do you want to take those? Okay. All right, thank you. Yeah. So I thought those were fun. Now we're going to look at a few of the riddle type proverbs with props. Now, my props aren't quite as smart or witty as those props, but I don't expect you to have the proverbs memorized or even to guess which one it is that I'm showing you. But I thought with the props, maybe they'll help us remember them. And that's one of the reasons why I brought them. So some of these props can, some of these riddle proverbs can read like a rebuke or like a comedic roast. And I just wanted to say that all my kids loved them, but the adults I read them to were like, I don't like that one, or I don't like that one. And, you know, wisdom, she says, don't rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise one and they will love you. So I hope that we can love some of these riddles, even as they might come out a bit strong. Okay, so first one is, it begins, and I made like holes in them so you can say, who or what am I? So it begins, Proverbs 17:12, better to meet a bear bereft of its cubs. Okay, so what is worse than meeting a bear bereft of its cubs? What am I? Adult in his folly. So better to meet a bear bereft of its cubs than adult in his folly. Now, in April or May of this year, there was this conversation between two women that went viral. Magda Arzumi, I think she's on the road today, but I wanted to give her a shout out because she clued me into this conversation. The women started by saying, would you rather meet a bear or a man alone in the woods? And so some of the respondents were saying that I'd rather meet the bear. And, you know, it was supposed to be funny and enlightening, but, you know, it brought up these deeply rooted issues around in our relationships around safety and gender and relationships, but it also tried to make its point through humor. So, and some people really ran with it. Now, the Proverbs, they take it to like a whole nother level. It's not just a bear, but a bear bereft of its cubs. So what could be worse than meeting a bear bereft of its cubs? Running into a fool. Now I wonder, what does it mean to meet a fool in their folly? So, usually our lack of good sense is like something that we don't see. We don't know, we don't want to recognize it about ourselves. Fools are often blind to their folly. So when someone points out like our lack of good sense, beware. If I'm wise, I will have ears to hear it. But if I am foolish, I will become defensive. I might even explode. So meeting people in their folly can sometimes be like encountering an angry bear. Ironically, I actually had a wise counselor who once said, you know, when you get defensive, you're kind of proving their point. So better to remain humble. You can kind of see how these are like a poetry of wit. I think they can resonate through people for people throughout the generations. But, you know, for that last one, I don't think that men or fools should be the only one who get a hard time from these rebukes. So this next one, it describes a lovely woman. Okay. This is a golden ring in the snout of a pig. So what am I? A golden ring in the snout of a pig. A lovely woman who lacks good sense. Yeah, I know. It's off-putting. It's horrible. But it's, you know, I don't think it's actually against women or against beauty. So we live in a very visually oriented society, and lovely people, they just get a lot of attention. But this proverb, it actually makes me think of one of my favorite sayings by the French author who wrote The Little Prince. He says, it is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. So, you know, this riddle reveals that good looks are not all that matters and that what is essential is invisible to the eye. It's interesting that the lovely woman is not actually compared to the pig, which, my goodness, that would be insulting. No, she's compared to the golden ring. It's only her bad sense, which is compared to the pig. Poor pig. All right. So this last one that we're going to do is, what am I? This is a breached city without a wall. Proverbs 25, 28. So the wall is coming down. A breached city without a wall. Robert Alter, when he describes this riddle, he says that it would have communicated this condition of like terribly exposed vulnerability to the ancient audience. Many of them were familiar with fortified walls, strong walls, as an important way to protect a vulnerable city from harm. Now, with this riddle, it kind of has a surprising answer. So, a breached city without a wall. What am I? A man with no restraint to his spirit. Okay, so our society, also, you know, like we celebrate beauty, we also celebrate freedom. I think free spirits are very valued. But according to this deep wisdom, true freedom is found in having some restraint to our spirit. Now, I think I think this can be true in some ways that a breach, it can make us like more vulnerable to humiliation or harm. The Apostle Paul speaks to this in his letter to the Galatians. So he says, "You were called to freedom, brothers and sisters and siblings." He says, "Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence." This is wisdom. He says, "Rather, love your neighbor as yourself." So he's guiding us in our freedom. Now, a few verses later, he concludes with this beautiful insight into the 9 fruits of the Spirit. So I'm going to read the 9. They're love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and, drum roll, self-control. So in these fruits, we find true freedom. But I do remember reading this as a maybe a younger, more naive person, and I found some of them unsurprising. So I was like, okay, yeah, we're called to freedom, and of course that includes love and joy. Of course that includes peace, patience, and kindness. They like blurred together for me as like lovely qualities. But then, you know, I'm young and want to be free, and I'm like, self-control? Self-control is a gift of the Spirit that calls us to freedom. But I think anyone with some years behind them, anyone who maybe has experienced the harm done by having a lack of restraint, maybe some of us have joined AA or like, you know, those elders who they drop their stones first when Jesus says, "You who have not sinned, cast the first stone." The wise people among us will tell you that there is actually some freedom in having some restraint. So I've personally learned that there is some pain and humiliation involved with the lack of self-control. It is like a breached city without a wall. Now, one last thought on this. You know, because my husband actually said, you know, vulnerability and trust are so key, and walls up can be prevent us from being vulnerable. And I think that's really a really important saying. Vulnerability and trust are so key to our relationships. But I think this proverb actually gives us permission to have some walls that protect what is sacred to us. So like a city with well-built walls, it is okay, even wise, to maintain healthy boundaries and have some self-restraint. All right, so I chose these 3 riddles to explore with you today, and there's a whole list of them on the back of the sermon notes sheet. And the riddles obviously are not always flattering to us humans. So whether we are a dolt or a fool, maybe we're a person without good sense, or maybe one without restraint to our spirit. It's not fun to be compared to a bear bereft of her cubs, or a pig with a golden ring in its nose, or a city without walls. But remember that wisdom delights in humankind, and God delights in her. These images can help us to like stop in our tracks when we're heading in the wrong direction. you know, I like to think of them, like I said earlier, like a comedic roast. It's like, oh, they know me so well. They really got me, you know? And then if we can hear them with delight, they might teach us how to change our ways and open our ears to what wisdom has to say. She says to those with ears to hear, and now, my children, listen to me. Happy are those who keep my ways. So in conclusion, I thought it might be fun to imagine, you know, God's glory with the child wisdom there at the beginning, before anything else was made. Imagine them, wisdom with glory, playing in the earth, delighting in humankind. And when people don't listen to them, I imagine wisdom saying, okay, glory, let's pretend that they're not being clever because they're not listening. So let us seek wisdom, let us open our ears to hear her, and let us keep in her ways. All right, so that's the sermon. Yeah, and I thought, you know, the kids can have a great time with these props later. Maybe not the proverb ones, but they can have fun with the ones from Planet Word, and you can take pictures with them if you want. They can be fun. Okay, so, you know, for our meditation time, I was thinking about Jesus. He embodied wisdom. He grew in wisdom. And like wisdom, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Wisdom says the same thing. So during this time of meditation, I wanted to give you the freedom and the chance to just ask God for whatever is in your heart today. Anything that you long for or hope for or seek, let's just use this quiet moment of meditation to like knock on God's door, to ask, to search, and to find. And I'll let you know when the quiet moment is up. And people and children, of course, make noise. It's okay. Lord, please hear the prayers and longings of our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Amen.